Welcome to He Changed the World from Forest Baptist Church, a series of talks about Jesus Christ from Mark's Gospel, recorded by me, David Last. Talk number 8, Mad, Bad, or the Son of God, Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through to 30. After a break from the pressure of work, Jesus dives deep back into it. From the space of the shore and the mountaintop, he returns to the cramped conditions of an ordinary home. The clamour of the crowds then make those conditions even tighter, claustrophobic even. We can all know the feeling of life crushing in on us. It may trigger panic, which literally takes our breath away. We find ourselves panting for air, or it may produce misery and anxiety, which weigh upon us like a heavy rucksack upon our back. Running away from it all may seem like the best solution. Get out of the house, get away from the people. Surely there's a better way to live somewhere else. Of course, that can often be mistaken, grass is greener type thinking. We'll find that we soon run into trouble elsewhere. Jesus, however, doesn't take the selfish escape route. He bears with the crush, even when it prevents him from eating. His family, his mum and his siblings, worry about this. They are starting to think that he's losing his mind. Jesus could easily burn out by the time he's in his mid-30s and then be of no use to anyone. Well, Jesus will do just that. But that won't be a failure. He will die, but his death will not be a disaster. It will actually be a selfless act that will transform the lives of countless other people. So Jesus may not look like he knows what he's doing, but he does, perfectly. Grasping Jesus' sacrificial spirit is vital to really understanding him. It's at the core of his thinking. It's at the core of the thinking of God. The Bible tells us that God is love. His internal life is shaped by concern and thought for others. That stems from a truth about God which is mysterious to us, but which is true, that though there is one God, his existence is in three persons: the Father, the Son, that's Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We find it hard to get our heads around that. Just what does that mean? Well, no surprise that we find it so hard. This is God we're talking about. He's infinitely bigger than the universe, let alone our 1.5 kilogram brains. But in the life of Jesus, we glimpse the truth of this, the truth of the three who are eternally one. And it tells us that God was not forever alone until he made the world and had people to love, that he has always loved. And that love is what makes Jesus self-sacrificing when he comes into our world. Now in the story, not all see it, of course. A professional assessment team arrive, coming from the capital city, Jerusalem. They're here to check Jesus out. Their reaction is vicious. Jesus has helped so many that he's hemmed in by men and women desperate for his aid. And yet, these assessors self-confidently pronounce their cynical judgment. Jesus is a sham. His power to bring hope to people's lives is actually just manipulation as part of a long-term scheme to do what is wrong. He's evil and is only doing apparent good because it will lead to greater evil in the future. So they call him names designed to trash his reputation. When we become trapped by our own opinions, proudly fearful of losing our place and status, stupid behaviour like this can follow. Name-calling comes easily to us. Slanders slip and trip off our lips. Gossip becomes truth. Human beings have long practiced this, and we've become far too able at it. But it always has the danger of spinning out of control. Once we go down this path of attacking another unfairly, we can go so over the top that the damage will never be repaired. We say things which can't be rolled back. Maybe you've done that. Jesus warns these men of doing precisely that. They are fools. Their description of doing good with evil intent bears no examination. But if they keep talking this way, it will lead them to say even worse things. They will speak horrible things about God. And though God is enormously patient with us, willing to forgive all our sins if we'll just listen to Jesus, his son, there comes a point where if we refuse to do that, we've reached the point of no return. We can paint ourselves into a corner where God's forgiveness is lost forever. That's a terrible place to end up. And yet, that's an extreme place. It doesn't have to be that way. Whatever we have done in the past, if we are willing to come back to God, then Jesus is willing to welcome us. And he's willing to bring God's forgiveness to us. He's willing to take us into the family of God. Even our worst words, our worst deeds are forgivable if we will just humbly ask Jesus for that. What do you think? In these interactions, Jesus shows us the truth about God and about ourselves. Whose side would you be on in these stories? Those who listen to Jesus? Or the family who think he needs help? Or the snarling group who think he's harmful, he's toxic? You have to decide. Is Jesus bad, mad, or the Son of God? The evidence of his life and of what he's been doing amongst people for the last 2,000 years would say that it's the last one in that list. He is the Son of God who's come to bring forgiveness. But don't take my word on it. Seek Jesus for yourself and discover this. Thanks for listening. Before we finish, you can hear the passage from Mark's Gospel read out to you, and then I hope you'll return for next time's talk.
This is Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 30. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He's out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons he is driving out demons." So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house. I tell you the truth. All the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying, "He has an evil spirit."